This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
At first, there was one angel who appeared to the lowly shepherds of Bethlehem, announcing the gospel of Christ's birth. But then we read of many joyful angels which filled the night sky. What a sight and a sound that must have been! Luke 2 verses 13 and 14 say, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" The focus of this radio message, however, is not on the joy of the angels, but rather on the joyful response of the shepherds. Having heard the gospel message from heaven, we read this about the shepherds. Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Dear radio listener, is there true joy in your heart? In this season, there is a lot of what I would call an artificial joy, a jolliness, a light-hearted giddiness, a happiness created by merry tunes and presents and lights and food and drink and fun that fill this time of year. And of course, there's nothing wrong with some of these things. But this is an artificial joy, a short-term and shallow kind of happiness. The true, the genuine joy that the angels and then the shepherds had on the evening of Christ's birth was a deep and a long-lasting joy, a joy that powerfully worked deep inside the heart of these shepherds to comfort them, to provide peace, and to give real purpose in a difficult life. Do you have this joy? This joy is the word of the gospel. In Luke 2, verse 10, when the angel preached to the shepherds, he says this literally, "I preach great joy, which shall be to all people." Joy, you see, the angel said, is the truth that is preached. Joy is not a light or high feeling, first of all, though certainly feelings are part of joy, but joy is, first of all, the knowledge of the good news of Jesus Christ, worked deep within the soul. I ask whether you have this joy. When we read of the shepherds' joy in Luke 2, we must realize that their joy was not due to a merry tune that they had heard. In fact, when we read about the angels praising God in the text, it does not say that they sang. When they said, "Glory to God in the highest," they may have sung, I don't deny that, but the Word of God does not tell us that it was the nice tune that made the shepherds joyful. Neither was it the bright lights emanating from the angels themselves, though they certainly were bright and full of light from heaven. Their light did not make the shepherds light-hearted. Their brightness, in fact, had been the cause of fear earlier. So what did bring the shepherds to joy? It was the word of truth, the gospel of the shepherds' arrival, which the angels had spoken. Dear listener, if you want true joy, you need to put aside the distractions of many forms of artificial joy and focus on the Word of God, very simply. That Jesus has come to suffer for our sins, that He began His suffering from the womb and throughout His life until He went to the cross. This Jesus came to suffer the just punishment that sinners like you and me deserve. And because of this, all those who believe in Him may know He has finished earning for you the forgiveness of all your sins. He has finished earning for you heaven that's guaranteed. And this crucified, risen, and ascended Savior now reigns over all things in your life for good, to sanctify you, to preserve you, and to bring you to glory. You see, only this true gospel of Jesus brings genuine joy. If you have this, you have everything. And so, when the shepherds heard and believed the gospel, they were filled with joy from heaven. It was not a giddy kind of joy which caused the shepherds to do a mindless dance, as many do today. It was a joy that stirred the shepherds unto three intentional actions. First, worship in the presence of their Savior. Second, the echoing of the Word of God. And third, diligence in their lowly vocation. Let's see that in the inspired text of God's Word. In Luke 2, we find that they worship in the presence of the Savior. That first. Verse 15 says, recording what the shepherds did, or said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." True joy within the shepherds did not lead the shepherds to a celebration of feasting and drinking, though that is there's certainly place for that. But true joy drives a sinner saved by grace to worship. "Let's go," the shepherds say. "Why are we still here outside the city? Let's go in. Let's go find that manger without delay. Let's go find the Messiah, the Lord, come to save us now." They came with haste. They did not dally. They did not get distracted with other business. They came as quickly as they possibly could into the presence of the newborn King. The Word of God does not describe exactly or specifically what the shepherds did when they found Christ. In the darkness of that animal stall, perhaps they bowed and prayed. They probably repeated the words of the angel, "Glory to God in the highest." The specific activities of worship are not recorded, but what is emphasized is this. They went. They actually went physically and with their hearts to the place where Christ was, and there in His presence they worshiped Him. And so you and I must ask in application, where is Christ present that we may go and worship Him there? Certainly, one answer is that He is everywhere present. He is omnipresent by His Holy Spirit. And so there is certainly opportunity to praise Him, praise Christ, wherever we are. But Scripture speaks of a special place of Christ's presence. And that special place of Christ's presence is in what we call church. Jesus himself said in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And if you study that passage, you'll see that Jesus is talking about two or three church leaders or elders who ensure that worship is indeed conducted according to the Word of God. A church where the Word of God is followed by the leaders and members, Jesus says, "There am I in the midst of them." That's where Christians not only must go to worship, but that is where they joyfully desire to go, not just once a year either, but every week on the Sabbath day to worship in Christ's presence. In joy, we see the shepherds, first of all, worship in the presence of the Savior, but secondly, they express their joy by echoing or witnessing the gospel that they had heard. Verse 17 says, of Luke 2, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." These shepherds could not keep the word inside their hearts. They had to tell others. It was overflowing out of their hearts. Notice they did not go around telling others about what they saw with their eyes, but rather the text says that they went around telling others what they had heard. They made known abroad the saying of the angel about the child. In other words, they did not go around telling others about how nice the stable was, or how cute the baby was, or how beautiful Mary, his mother, looked, what they saw. They went around echoing what the angel had preached. "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," the angel had said, "unto you is born this day in the city of David Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and here's a sign, a wonder, a picture of his saving work to suffer for us. We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying, of all places, in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." They took the words of the angel and they echoed the same words to everyone they met. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 is a perfect commentary of the shepherds' actions of joy. "For from you sounded out," or echoed, "the word of the Lord. Also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." True joy produces evangelism. So, dear sinner and listener, when you go to church and listen to the word of the gospel of grace, remember it, don't forget it, and then with joy let it resound to your family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. The word "confess" in the Bible means say the same thing. Confess your faith. Say the same thing as God. That's not just what we're supposed to do, though we are. But that's what Christians want to do with joy, as the shepherds did. There's a contrast here before I move on to the third joyful response of the shepherds. Verse 18 describes the people who heard the witness of the shepherds, and we read about them. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." You see, the people heard the gospel that was echoed by the shepherds. They understood what the shepherds were saying, and this was their response: wonder, wonder. In other words, they reacted with wow, or amazing. Christ the Lord, the Savior, has arrived? Into poverty, a manger? That's shocking. Wow. Period. That's all we read about the residents of Bethlehem. They don't go and worship. They don't tell others about it. Sadly, that's what most hearers of the gospel do. They say, wow, and then occupy their minds with something else. but go back to what they were doing before. The same people of Bethlehem who had no room for pregnant Mary the night before and her baby had no room in their heart and mind for the Savior. Notice the contrast. The Bible makes a clear contrast in verse 19, but, meaning unlike the people who simply wondered, Mary pondered. The believer who hears the gospel doesn't simply say, wow, and then distract himself or herself with something else, but he or she ponders, thinks, meditates within the soul about this wonderful Savior, rejoices in him, and occupies not only his mind, but his body in worship and in witnessing. The shepherd's first response of joy was worship in the presence of Christ. The second response was echoing the gospel to others. And then thirdly, they expressed their joy by returning to their earthly calling. Verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Don't miss this very ordinary action. The shepherds, while they continued to rejoice and praise God, yet returned to their lowly occupation, to a difficult life, to a life where they were and remained unimportant to society around them, to taking care of sheep. They did not say, "Now that we have Christ, we're all going to become full-time evangelists. Now that we have Christ, we're going to quit our job and just go to church 24/7. Such is the effect of the gospel upon believing hearts. Now that we have Christ, we want to serve him in whatever capacity we can, even if it be a lowly calling. That's faithfulness. That's the response of joy. The gospel, you see, gives purpose and meaning to life. Every task now, no matter how menial from our perspective, is now for the King. Whatsoever we do it heartily now, is to the Lord and not unto men. True gospel joy deep within makes the soul of a Christian thankful, and in thankfulness, he is driven to serve King Jesus in all that he does, even if he gets no praise for it. But now I conclude with this. None of us have perfect joy. We are easily distracted by the things of this earth. We don't have this perfect joy until we get to heaven one day. The most joyful Christian still sins, fails, and fails in these three activities that we talked about today: worship, witnessing, and faithfulness in our earthly callings. Thankfully, the gospel is not this. The gospel is not do as the shepherds do and perfectly. Though we're called to this, the gospel is rather that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners who fail every day in these things. May each listener repent and believe in Jesus alone for salvation. And then may the joy of the gospel increase within our hearts so that more and more we improve in our service of the King. Let us pray. Glory to Thee, O God, in the highest. We praise Thee for the gospel, the good tidings of great joy which gives us peace and comfort in our hearts. We pray, O God, that the artificial joy all around us might not distract our minds from the true joy in the Lord. Focus, we pray, our minds on Jesus Christ, His work as God, come in the flesh to suffer for us and to obey Thy law for us, and give unto us joyful responses of worship in a true church, of the echoing of the word to others, and of our return in faithfulness to the earthly occupations and callings that we have, with a motive to serve Jesus in all that we do, no matter what man may say. Glory to Thee, O God, in the highest. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.